quite similar to the word udipan in an advanced stage. You know udipan? A couple people know udipan. Okay. Jaitam sarito pangor mamamanda materka ti matsarvasa padambo jo rada madanaman. So maybe we should go back to text 4 and then we'll read up to where we are here. So Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo. You missed it. We did this already. But you were outside. Never hurts to do it again. That's all right. I thought I heard it somewhere before. Yeah. That's Krishna, he's all pervading because Vasudeva is by himself. We're saying he's all pervading, but it's Bhagavat. It's the person Bhagavat that's we're offering Om Namo. So Krishna, Prabhupada mentioned that pure love of God is intrinsically integrated into all of Krishna's energy. So it's all pervading. And we're offering our obeisances. So we're in this story here of this battle that's taking place. And today Krishna comes on the scene. He hasn't been there before. It's actually been, we'll read the verses. Text number 4, translation. Gada, Satyaki, Samba, and others began killing Shalva's army. And thus all the soldiers inside the airship began falling into the ocean, their necks severed. So we got a scene here. Get the picture back again. So we got this giant flying ship that was, I guess it's like the 9/11. You know, these flying machines are always attacking, you know, innocent people apparently. So Shalva came over, but now the great warriors, they're killing Shalva's army that are in the ship, and they're falling out of this spaceship. Text number 5. As the Yadus and Shalva's followers thus went on attacking one another, the tumultuous, fearsome battle continued for 27 days and nights. And that's 3 times 9. In the word for word, 3 times 9. So that's already almost a month, day and night. So this is a serious battle that's going on. They're not playing around. So text number 6 and 7. So here, a change of scenes. Here we are. Invited by Yudhisthira, the son of Dharma, Lord Krishna had gone to Indraprastha. Now that the Rajasuya sacrifice had been completed and Shushupal killed, the Lord began to see inauspicious omens. So he took leave of the Kuru elders and the great sages, and also Prita and her sons, and returned to Dwarka. So you saw that once scene we're at the battle. The next scene is here we're in Indraprastha, and Krishna has finished his service and now bringing Krishna into the scene. The Lord said to himself, because I have come here with my respected elder brother, kings partial to Shushupal may well be attacking my capital city. Good chance of that, right? So they saw Krishna was gone, and now is the time. You know, they're always, just like Pearl Harbor took place on Sunday morning, because at that time the country was had religious services on Sunday morning, and most of they were off guard. It's like Christmas. It's like it's Sunday morning. Everybody's at church, away from their post having services. That's when they came, because they're not following that same idea of piety. So here we saw Krishna's away, so now's the time to attack. So he saw that. So text number 9, Sukadeva Goswami continued, after he arrived at Dwarka, He saw how his people were threatened with destruction, and he also saw Salva and his Shuba airship. Lord Kesha arranged for the city's defense and then addressed Dwarka as follows. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna placed Sri Balaram in a strategic position to guard the city, and he also appointed a special guard for Sri Rukmini and other queens inside the palaces. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by a secret route, special soldiers conveyed the queens to a safety inside Dwarka. So it's always fascinating to notice this, that it was a secret, a secret route. So of course, we understand there's 10 subjects in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of the subjects is protection of the devotees. So here, Balaram, Krishna, they're both coming here to protect the devotees. So of course, for us, Krishna also guarantees that. He says that in 1866, isn't it? He says, just surrender, and I'll protect you. Don't worry. Don't fear. He says, I'll take care of everything. So, and then in 1858, he also tells us, but it has a warning in it. He says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles. This is certainly an obstacle to this whole place. You notice that they went out to fight with Shalva. So the city still hadn't been attacked, apparently. So he put Balaram to protect the city, but they went out. Nowadays, they just bomb the cities. So if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. If, however, you don't act in such consciousness, but act through the ahankar, then hamtatva, thinking oneself to be independent, secular consciousness, then you'll be lost. So this lost business, I was thinking of a little bit about the fizz and Krishna consciousness, because it was brought up on Saturday's class. So we were talking a little bit about this fizz, and I was thinking about, it says Krishna consciousness is a razor's edge. So what's the analogy being used to say what you has to go on when you're shaving? What was it? Does anybody remember with the razor's edge? Close. A little inattention. So for myself, I always have to refresh what exactly I'm doing. So I start at the beginning. It's a good place. I've been trying to get to the beginning. So we remember how Prabhupada has translated. Remember, we mentioned that Sarva Bhavana, he asked Prabhupada, how do you translate? And Prabhupada said there's a literal translation and there's a Bhava Artha translation. And is that right? Bhava Artha, that you translate, he says you understand the mood, the intention, what the element is that's there and then you put it in your own words. So Prabhupada says he prefers that method. So that's the one he was teaching. And after I've read that, and it sinks in a little bit more, because a lot of times you read Prabhupada's words and they're not exactly how the words generally, literally, are translated. So he uses this Bhava Artha translation to communicate more than the literal translation, the intention, the feeling of a person. So in the beginning, how do you say that in Sanskrit, in the beginning? Adau. A deer. Adau Shraddha. That in the beginning, there's a preliminary desire for self-realization. So Prabhupada translates the word Shraddha, which generally literal translation means faith, a preliminary. It's not the strong faith like Nishta, which he also uses the same terminology in that, in Anishta. So he says, it's a preliminary desire for self-realization. So what is Prabhupada, why did he translate, put self-realization in there? That term is a popular term. A lot of people use it, but nobody uses it the way Prabhupada uses it. So I thought of Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 102. You know that one? I'll get to 108, but I got to start at 102 just to get the context. Oh, got so many. Oh. I thought I had it. Okay. I can't even keep track.
Because I don't know if I got it.
Yeah, I got it on the screen. All right, I got it on my little phone here.
But I thought for sure I had it here.
That's strange. Okay, this is what Kayami, isn't it? Okay, so in this verse, Lord, it's Sanatan Goswami, who's our Sambandha Gyan Acharya. He's asking Lord Chaitanya this question, who am I? And why do these threefold miseries always give me problems? Actually, when Prabhupada also quotes that he says, unless you ask this question, why are these threefold miseries causing me trouble? You know, this is a very important point. So maybe, could you read it then, since I can't seem to be organized enough to find the 102, Kayami, if you like. All right, well, also he mentions it also in the 7th canto, chapter 6, in the purport of text 15. He says, for example, Santan Goswami submitted to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first question was, Kayami Kena Tapatroy. In other words, he wanted to know his constitutional position, why he was suffering. So this is the Adoshvara. This is our preliminary desire for self-realization. So you want to, can you read the next couple verses to 108?
This translation. Actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process for obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Lord Krishna has bestowed his full mercy upon you so that all these things are known to you. For you, the threefold miseries certainly do not exist. Since you possess Lord Krishna's potency, you certainly know these things. However, it is the nature of a sadhu to inquire. Although he knows these things, the sadhu inquires for the sake of strictness. 106. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviated intelligence certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. 107. You are fit to propagate the cult of devotional service. Therefore, gradually hear all the truths about it from me. I shall tell you about them. It is the living entity's constitutional position.
So this is number 8. This is the answer to the question.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting to also to note that this is Sanatana Goswami instruction, and it's text 108. Easy to remember, 108, the popular number. Get you started here. He's one of the 108s also, isn't he? He's in that group.
It is the living entity's constitutional position to be an eternal servant of Krishna, because he is a marginal energy of Krishna and a manifestation simultaneously one with and different from the Lord, like the molecular particle of sunshine or fire. Krishna has three varieties of energy.
So let's just take it from there for a minute. In the beginning, it's a preliminary desire for self-realization. Self-realization means that Jivair Supoi Krishnair Nityadas, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. So that's the start. Just like when Krishna told Arjuna, never was there a time you did not exist. He was referring to this, that you're always a servant. So in the vocabulary, there's a vocabulary that devotees use that's different. Sometimes I was talking today about we need to have our own dictionary. This secular dictionary is a very difficult thing to use because they try to take Krishna out of every word. Where we know, like Lord Chaitanya, he put Krishna into every word. When he came back from Gaya, he pointed out that every letter, every soul, everything means Krishna. So we need a new dictionary. So the word servant in the secular dictionary, it's a bad thing. You know, they say, oh, I don't want that. That's because it's more or less written by empiricists, which is compared to Putana, who's has one thing on her mind when she goes to see Krishna, is to kill him. So the empiricist, she was actually sent by Kamsa, who's like the chief empiricist in these examples, is to take. So we want to put this servant back in. So the other word that's kind of been turned around a lot is master. You know, so master, that also kind of, if you're a servant to some master, it's generally separated from Krishna consciousness, and it's not seen as a good thing. But we understand, we call Mahaprabhu or Prabhu. These all mean master. So we have to reorient these words, redefine them into the transcendental dictionary. And we can see that because of our position of prakriti, our happiness comes from pleasing our master. It's just natural. It's a little hard to understand because in Kali Yuga, all the words have been redefined. But this is a natural phenomenon that one's happy by pleasing his master. That's why he's his master, because he's got his heart. The heart. That's a nice, if you transfer now from the head to the heart, there's what captures, what attracts. Okay. See, I got a lot of different things. I'm trying to figure out how to order them one after another. So, let's see. Oh, I got this one. Okay, so we're accepting. Which comes first? Okay. Lord Chaitanya, after he completed his stay here 5,000 years ago, he said, for Lord Krishna enjoys his transcendental pastimes as long as he wishes, then he disappears. After disappearing, however, he thinks thus. So here we're getting what Krishna is thinking. He says, for a long time, I have not bestowed unalloyed loving service to me upon the inhabitants of the world. Without such loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. So that's an interesting, here's Krishna's, what he's thinking. Without loving attachment, the existence of the material world is useless. Okay. Everywhere in the world, well, this is a long time ago, everywhere in the world, people worship me according to scriptural injunctions. That's been dated a bit. But simply by following regulated principles, one cannot obtain loving sentiments of the devotees in Brajabhumi. He says, knowing my opulence, the whole world looks upon me with awe and veneration, with devotion made feeble by such reverence. But devotion made feeble by such reverence does not attract me. So now there's an interesting thing that you have to catch. Attracts me. When we're doing devotional service, the mind is to attract Krishna by your qualities. That's what we're cultivating. If he's our master, we're trying to please him. Anukulena, we're doing things favorable for him. We're trying to please him. And how does Krishna becomes pleased by your qualities that you're developing? Krishna's big on qualities. He says externals don't really count. You know, like the born Brahmin, no, it's by the qualities. Everything's qualities, and then you can take it to, I hope, the qualification. The qualities are your qualification. So I'm not sure if that's in the dictionary, like that. Get my dictionary going. So these, when you're doing something in devotional service, this when I see you had such a nice verse yesterday. You told me it was 1:5:25. You don't pull up 1:5:25. It was in the purport, wasn't it? And this is also similar to 1:2:16 or 1:7. That how do you get qualities? See, this is a science of Krishna consciousness. This goes to how you control the mind. This goes to how you're developing your bhakti lata bij, your creeper. This goes to keeping the fizz in Krishna consciousness, keeping that excitement, utsahan, that enthusiasm, is because you got it structured. You know what you're doing. You're pleasing your master. Your master's pleased. You're feeling something. That feeling that you're getting, this is a taste. It's like the bhakti lata bij is the taste of being pleased. You're pleasing. So we're learning how to be pleasing, which is the exact opposite of this world. This world is like, I did it my way. You know, I'm a hunkar. You know, I'm the doer here. But we're not. We're learning how to become pleasing. So how does tolerance work? How do any of these things work? Is because internally, well, that's 5:11, 15:11, but we had to do 15:10 last time I gave class. It was thing about 15:11, the common stuff. So 15:10 is that you're seeing things. This morning was a nice reading. Do you remember the reading this morning? Right after Mangarti, he was talking about seeing Krishna. And he says, you don't exactly, what is this seeing? He says, you see by hearing. So we see by hearing, this jnana chakshus. We hear, we see through our ears of knowledge. And that's how we redefine it. We see according to our desire, though. So your desire has to be lined up with this pleasing potency. So when we recognize master, you know, that this master, this is who I please. And you know what they call that, like in a wedding, marriage context? It's called chastity. That you have to go back a little time, maybe our parents or grandparents or great parents, when these things were more commonplace to see. But they understood a simple principle like that, that Prabhupada one time, he says, when you live to be enjoyed by Krishna, you're liberated. So that principle is Bhaktisiddhanta. He uses, when you see in this world, if you're seeing, then you're seeing as the enjoyer. If you recognize that you're being seen, then you can live in your correct servant condition. I'm being observed. Just like on Saturday, I was at the prison, which is a wonderful place to preach, and you get so many realizations. And they explain that if you go into a place that you're planning on robbing, you look for the security cameras. Are you the one that's seeing, or are you being seen? And they act differently. If you're being seen, You act very nice. You put everything back where you got it. But if you think that no one's watching, then I could be the enjoyer of all this property. This doesn't really belong to this store. It belongs to me if I can get out the door with it. So, isn't it? That's, in this world, I and mine. Everything is either for me or it's mine. And you know, if you contemplate something, an object, as opposed to a person, if you contemplate an object, then the next thing is you want to have it. You become attached. It should be mine. I am mine. So instead of seeing it, you recognize you're being seen. And you're being seen. So this chastity of pleasing our master. And so on the internet nowadays, we see many interesting things. I saw this one. There was a cat that was being very affectionate to a parakeet. It was like, maybe other people saw it. And there was another one I saw, a bear rescued a crow out of the water. The crow was drowning, and a bear reaches in and takes him out. And it has like 7 million views. People, they like this, to see this idea that generally a predator, he would eat this, a cat and a parakeet, and then there's so many of them, and they always have millions of views. They really, a lot of people like this. So this is because inside our heart, everybody has this loving propensity. They want to, when they see an effect of love, especially like that, and it's just a little bit like in how Christ has said in the kingdom of God that the lion lies down with the lamb. So it's the same principle near Matsura. It's non-envious. So this principle that everybody, it's in their heart to have a natural attraction for love. And who has, of course, in our vocabulary, we have love and we have prema. Love generally in this context, in the material context, it's translated as lust. But it came from, we're hardwired. The soul's always going to do the same thing, but it gets distorted because of the material environment. It's now contaminated by material atmosphere. But the same desires are there. They're just perverted because of just like when you see the pencil in a cup of water, it looks bent. The pencil's not bent, but it looks bent because of the refraction of the water. So in this world, as love gets transformed into lust. So we actually, everybody has an affection, an attraction for this, all attractive. So we've also had all these words changed, so we have to redefine all the words, like worshipable. Okay, so what you're really attracted to, this is, they used to say, I put the person on a pedestal. I worship this, you know, so we have to take the secular out and take it that it's the natural condition of the heart, whatever it's attracted to and it pays attention to, that's what you're worshiping. So we're actually worshiping the best prema. So now if you want to put those two words together in best, how do you say best in Sanskrit? Like Suridam or Sumedasa? How do you say that? The Su part. Okay, somebody knew where I was going with this one. So we actually worship the supreme, but we just say supreme. So that's our Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. That's situated in everyone's heart. It's not something artificial. It's not something that you put in by your mind, by rules and regulations. So this surrender, we're surrendering to this principle, just like love is held in great esteem. Love the whales, love the dog, you know, there's different loves, but no one in this world has complete love. They may love one person, but they don't love somebody else. So this truth of love, who can have the best love? You take on the qualities by what you're serving. That's where we were before. Before I went off on tangentitis again on that, is that you take on the qualities of who you serve. So while you may say you're serving something, there's actually a discrepancy between what you're saying you're serving and internally what you're serving, which comes out as your qualities. So that's because in different times they used to have words that meant different things, but the word for that used to be hypocrisy. That, in other words, of course, we live in this age, so now it's in the bell-shaped curve. This is what's normal. Everybody's like that. To be not like that, you'd be an acharya. Some preach, but don't follow, is it? Achar, prachar, and some achar, but don't prachar. And some, but if you do achar, prachar, then you're acharya. So you have to be the example. You are already the example of exactly what you're thinking of. Just like, for instance, the example that comes to mind is the heart is a receiver. Like, we know that the spiritual master, he's receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. So our heart is tuned by our desire. And what you desire, then your intelligence downloads, and then you function. You know, like self-sufficient philosopher throwing everyone's desires since time immemorial. This whole material energy is running on these desires. So when we're trying to please our master, then we see some desires are not favorable. What do you do with them if they're not favorable? What should we do with a desire that comes through that's not favorable for devotional service? Oh, well, that's the symptom of surrender. So everything's known by its symptom, its quality. So when one says, I want to surrender, that surrender makes everything make sense. If you hear something, it doesn't make sense. There's a lot of Krishna consciousness you hear, but the hearing, Krishna puts this for us to hear right now, right? Everything is always right now, anyway. So to apply that to your surrender, then it brings an immediacy which adds the fizz there. Everything in Krishna consciousness is in real time. So it's a comprehensive examination of everything you've learned up to now. So you have to put it together. So just like in a dictionary, they have big words. But the big words, if how you understand what a big word is, it's made up of a whole lot of little words. So each one of the words is just built on the other words. So they're trying to communicate to us these meanings so we understand something. We're trying to break through. We're kind of in a coma condition to break through, like in the miracle worker. Wow. Anybody saw the Helen Keller story? Miracle worker. Maybe it's too long ago. Anyway, she was deaf, dumb, and blind. That's a tough spot to be in. But it didn't happen until, I forget who's who, but it was a 3-year-old that had grown up, but she was all right until she was 3. So she had some recollection. So the whole time, this Helen Keller story is trying to break through to this person to get them to communicate. These communications are trying to break through the mantra. They're from another dimension trying to break through to us. And if we can tune our surrender, then we can start to come out of the coma. So at the last... The climax of the movie is that she's pumping some water out of a well, and the water's running into her hand. So her teacher makes the hand symbols for what water is. So she's writing this in her hand while at the same time the water's coming, trying to make the connection. We're trying to connect to our heart. Like there's the word Varenyan, Bargo, Devishi. I think that's pronounced fairly correctly. And there's something worshipable that's already there in your heart. You worship certain things. You admire certain things. You want certain things. These things are actually Krishna, but they're improperly focused. So we're refocusing to recognize that Krishna is the Lord of our heart. Our heart. But these words, how do you communicate these words into our understanding? You have to have eyes to see it, but those are your real eyes. So you have to have realized knowledge. All right. So positive. All right, you got it. All right. So that's because that comes from the heart. It doesn't come, just like we heard that you don't see through your eyes, you see through your ears. So the same way, you're seeing through your heart. So you have to know how to connect to that heart. So when you surrender, that's why I'm saying that Chakra was a, oh, Magyantyanjana, Salaka. How's it? Shalaka? It's an instrument for putting the drops in your eyes, you know, this ointment. So sometimes when you get the drops in your eyes, you may tear a little. So when we're starting to actually see, everything is running on Krishna's internal, well, actually it is running on his internal potency, even his external potency is part of the internal potency, that we start to see that Krishna prema is situated in everything. There's no hoitakiya patiyata. There's the challenge. Is there any situation that you can't apply Krishna consciousness to? That only means you don't have the proper knowledge to surrender at that particular moment. So that's telling you, this is the knowledge you need. So you can stay surrendered because it has to be uninterrupted and unmotivated. So when you try to apply that, Krishna assists you, and that's what you'll get today. If you're trying to surrender, everything will be assisting you in that surrender. And that keeps the fizz, Navayovanam. Krishna, where do you see Krishna? Where don't you see Krishna? Is there some place that you can't see Krishna? Except maybe in me, but I'm not quite, but darkness. How do you can even see darkness. You know how you see darkness? It gets silhouetted. They make little symbols, you know, and they make a shadow. So you can even see the shadow, but because you have knowledge, you can fill it in. Where did it come from? And then your remembrance, always remembering Krishna. It's not artificial. Who was it? There was somebody that had a pair of glasses, and they drew a picture of Krishna inside their glasses. So everywhere they looked, they were always seeing Krishna. Prabhupada said it was artificial. It's not exactly the way that you... It sounded right. You know, everywhere I look, I see Krishna. So it's just the same point. You see according to your desire. What does it say? A businessman, he goes into a forest. What's he see? Hey, we could start a lumber yard here. There's some good trees. Or a lusty person, he goes, what's he see? Hey, that's attractively. So you see according to your desire. So when your desire is service to please your master, because he's your master, that those concepts are so foreign to us right now, just to please a master, to live in that chastity. But then when we offer obeisances, then it makes sense. This is my master. This is the one that'll please Yesha Prashada, Bhagava Prashada. Is there any better feelings than that? Is that like a good feeling when you know that your spiritual master is pleased with you? Or he tells you? Or is there some communication? Is there something that would be better than that? That would have to be looked at then. We'd have to consider those points. So we live like that. And that's the cultivation of the bhakti lata beads. When you get the seed, you're supposed to sow it. Where are you supposed to sow it? Sow it into your shirt? No. Where? Into your chest? Oh, your heart. Where's the heart at? Where's the heart at? So then most of the time, we've built a fort around it, something like Bonasaurus Fort. It's got wires and moats and stuff. Nobody's going to get to my heart again. It hurts too much whenever I get there. So we've made it hard to get to. So we have to know that's your heart is your desires. What do you want? What are you attracted to? And then you have to qualify it. Is this from the external, because there's a duality, and then there's oneness of the absolute realm, purpose of oneness, love is in oneness. So that other element that's added to the one that made it two is the illusion. So we have to see, is this based, what's the first part of knowledge? You're not this body. So is this coming from the body and the senses? We know what happens if you serve a body and senses. You get another one. You want another one? We got lots, 8,400,000, plenty of variety. So instead of serving that, which is called karma, that which gets you another material body, you took initiation to serve the spiritual master, and he gives you activities that are a karma. Devotional service doesn't produce another material body. So he freed you from having to listen to your mind and senses. By surrender, you reject those things that are not favorable. And then you can see where they're coming from. You know, we're given so complete knowledge. Wherever you look in Krishna consciousness now, it just expands into complete clarity on, you know, you just to keep expanding. If you want to go into the mind, the body, how the Mahatattva, how the whole show, which is only temporary, comes into being. You can learn that whole thing. Or you can just chant Hare Krishna, sincerely giving up the 10 offenses, and everything, Yesha Devi Prabhupada, it all automatically come. You can't force the sun to come up at midnight. It comes up on its own. So by eliminating the doubts, chanting sincerely, then these things happen. And then you're under the protection. So we want to be protected, but we have to protect it from our own self. So we play the Balaram, that he's Balaram, he's the guru, he's the one who protects us, he's powerful. And he has that club and that plow, so he can pull out those weeds that are really deep. He can pull the weeds out, but you have to ask him to, because it's voluntary. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you very much for covering, you know, glorious Prabhupada. Is there a question or a comment or corrections or missing the correction? Then I thank you again, glorious Prabhupada.